In today's hyperventilated 24/7 gotcha politics media environment, the question would have been, okay, Jesus, we know you're slick, but since you've just got through driving out the money changers from the temple, it's time for you to come clean for our viewers. Do you think our good Jewish people should pay taxes to Rome? It's an easy question, Jesus, yes or no? Our viewers have the right to know. Where do you stand? Do you stand with the poor who are burdened by this tax, some of whom are wild-eyed revolutionaries and want to take on the Roman army and get us all killed? Or are you one of those reasonable rabbis in Jerusalem who think sometimes you can serve both God and Rome in the name of peaceful coexistence? There are really only two possible answers, Jesus. Which one is it? Then and now, as long as we have a mind that can only think in binary patterns, this is the best people can do. It's yes or no, either or, this or that, A or B. Man up, Jesus, tell us. But of course, from where Jesus is standing, there is another option called the kingdom of God. And he's been preaching that God's kingdom has been coming into the world through his ministry, in his person. And Jesus sees life from God's point of view, which is a non-dual perspective where the love of God transforms all choices. And as I've often said, the world you see depends on the lens you look through. So can followers of Jesus, folks like us, ordinary folks, should I say, without being disrespectful, believe it is possible that at least some of the time to see through that same lens that Jesus sees through? If we really want to see what Christ sees, it means, first of all, we've got to give up the lens we normally use, our default lens. And I know we've got an election coming up, right? And gotcha politics is a lot of fun when you win, not so much when you lose. But it destroys community, right? It destroys the search for truth, which is never the sole property of my side. And do we want to look at our views on money through the eyes of Christ? Do we really want to do that? Like the rich man down south has a major conversion experience, gives his life to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, comes to the pastor and says, I want to be baptized, but not in that puny font. I want the big river. So they gather at the river the next week. The church is there singing Rock of Ages. And he walks out, and just before he gets put underwater, he lifts his wallet up and holds it above the water so God won't get it. No baptismal water on that. We all know how risky it feels to let the values of Christ determine how I use what I value, and even to determine what I value. And speaking of going all in and seeing as Christ sees, we have some wonderful examples in the news these days. Those nurses and doctors who volunteer to treat Ebola patients both here and in West Africa. Is that what happens when you see what Christ sees? And of course, it's exactly what happens, which Jesus told us. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. And that only makes sense when we can see as Christ sees and see what Christ sees. So today is the kickoff of our stewardship campaign. Maybe some of you saw the envelopes. And they're on the back table, alphabetized by our crack stewardship team. If you can't find yours, keep looking, and if it's not there, let us know, and we will see that you get one so no one goes home unhappy. So Jesus is looking at that Roman coin, and you and I are being asked to look at our American money. Does this look familiar? It's got a picture of my grandmother on it. It's really George Washington, but it's a spitting image of my grandmother in her later years. Green bits of paper, the picture. This one has Washington. Some have Lincoln. Some have Jackson. the big spenders. It's got Franklin on it. They're called Benjamins, I'm told. And we're being asked, who do we think this money belongs to? Does it belong to the Republic for which these great men gave their lives? Or does it belong to me and to you? Well, that's easy. It belongs to me. My money does, and your money belongs to you, right? We pay taxes, but it's my money. It's your money. We've earned it, worked hard for it. So after the government gets its big slice, it's hard to think about giving another big slice to the church to do God's work. I mean, we don't mind paying a small amount, kind of like dues, keep the light on, get the heat, you know, jumped up in the winter. But all this talk of real giving is scary. Exactly because it touches that scary place deep within us, that fear deep within us, the fear of lack, the fear of loss, fear of failure, and finally the deepest fear of all, the fear of death. And that's why when someone is asking for my money, I get anxious. They keep pushing, I get defensive. And they get in my face, I get angry. And certainly I've hung the phone up long before I got there. But I get angry like I did, as I've told before, that first stewardship conference I went to as a young priest in 1978, the Cathedral of St. Philip in Atlanta. And they were telling me, these older clergy, that I needed to give 10% of my small salary back to the work of the church, back to God. And I say, says who? I stormed out. I was furious. My 45-minute drive home, I stayed furious. And then by the time I got home, I realized who I was angry at. I was angry at myself for being so fearful. Where is my faith, I wonder? Where are my hope and my love for God? They're in full display when I'm talking, you know, about prayer or the Bible, but nowhere to be found when it's about my money. I was angry because I had unmasked myself. I thought I'd given my life to Christ, but I'm still holding my wallet over my head, not because I was stingy so much, but because I was afraid I couldn't live without it. Like that mentally disturbed woman that Henry Nouwen mentioned decades ago, now walked into Yale Hospital emergency department with that coin, that 50-cent piece clutched in her hand. She was surrounded by the best health care in the world, but she could not let go of that half dollar. We share her belief, don't we, that money is going to make us happy. It's going to make us well. It's going to answer our dreams. Give percentage of my money to God's work? What's in it for me? Things fortunately began to shift for me when I saw others, especially some active lay members of my parish in North Carolina, who were joyful givers. A couple of them were my tennis buddies of mine, David and Dick, both successful businessmen. They joyfully told me that giving was a joy for them. They gave out of deep gratitude. And they had, the moment they had decided to give freely and sacrificially and gratefully to Christ and His work, their lives came alive in a new way. Things shifted for me again when it occurred to me I'd been looking at my money through the wrong lens entirely. I thought it was my money. And I was being asked to give a part of my money away. But when I came to the realization that it's God's money on loan to me, and yet, miraculously, I get to keep 90%. I'll take that deal any day. What a gift that is. So as Jesus stares down at that Roman coin, He turns the table on the gotcha question and says, give to Caesar the things that bear Caesar's image, and give to God the things that bear God's image. And then we remember, don't we, good church people, we remember the first chapter of Genesis where we are told we bear God's image. From birth, we have God's thumbprint upon us. In baptism, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. And in order to know this, not just as an idea, but as the deepest truth of who we are, we begin to experiment, right, with giving. To see if giving with gratitude gives me more joy than hoarding with fear. It's a simple experiment. I invite you to try it as you do. And Jesus said, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive, because when we give our time, our attention, our love, our money, our talents, whatever it is, we are acting out of our true identity as sons and daughters of God. And once we know this, we realize we have had the mind of Christ with us all along. And that Christ is always with us and always for us, so that we can let go. Let that death grip go and live as free men and women who love now as Christ loves.